Soderstrom back. He looks. It's out of here. Welcome back to the big leagues. Josh Young, a solo home run, and the Rangers strike first. They lead 1-0.
Well, I'll be damned, Josh Young. Good morning, Metroplex. A Tolo Tuesday edition. And this is going to be a crazy one. Sean Schrafe, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. We are live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. All the insanity from the Dallas Cowboys press conference coming up at 6:20. We have another concert ticket giveaway during the 7 o'clock expressway. When we go commercial free with Ask Reddit, and Nick Eatman will join us for the first time in Oxnard, California, where the KNC Masterpiece are holding it down this week, along with Brian Broaddus. He'll be joining us tomorrow. And, of course, we will be out there on Sunday. But we start with a nice opener against the Oakland Athletics, which the Rangers win 7-2. And I will admit, fully and freely, when the news came out that they were recalling Josh Young, I said, for what? Why? He was doing nothing in the minors. He was sitting there with another low batting average. What's the point? What's the reason? He was hitting 201. Well, he shut me up at least for last night as he homered and scored three times in his return to the bigs. Jack Leiter out there on the mound, 7-2 over the A's, back to one game over 500.
The A's were 22-20 at one point this year. Since that time, they are 22-40.
Oh, wow.
That is a baseball team that has, they were playing a little bit over their heads. They have forgotten how to play. But this is, you know, you got an A's team in town that is can't get out of their own way, and you've got to win two of these three. And they got off on the right foot. The offense continues. You know, they've been averaging over five runs a game since June 7th, number one in the sport. They increased that last night. And then the stat, one of my favorite stats of the sport, is that the team with the highest individual inning in that game, the Rangers last night had a four spot. They put up four in the fourth or whatever. The team with the highest individual inning wins like 90% of the games across the sport.
Oh.
So if that individual inning's three, that's you. 9 out of 10 times you win that game. Five, whatever. So kind of that
holds
true.
That kind of holds true every year?
Every year, basically, yeah. It holds true throughout the course of history, really going back.
Then you get a couple of firsts. Cody Freeman, this was a really cool moment. This is the inning that turned the game that RJ just referred to. Cody Freeman in the ninth spot gets his first major league hit, and then Michael Hellman goes yard, and these are on consecutive pitches for his first major league home run.
Yeah, and we already mentioned the Josh Young reappearance, which he wasn't really doing anything in the minors, but man, that was the most encouraging thing about that game last night. Like, I mean, you get the home run from Hellman, the first one of his career. You get the Freeman hit, but what Young did at the plate, where he gets a walk, he gets the two hits. His biggest issue when he went down the last time he was up was we talked about how everything was outside the zone that he was swinging at. He had the worst eye at the plate. It looked like yesterday he had zero swings and misses. He had two called strikes on 12 pitches was all. So eye discipline was good, draws a walk, gets the home run. That's all really encouraging. And you hope, all right, this is an instance of maybe some of what we saw with Evan Carter when he came back up, that he went down, spent some time there, worked on some things, and leveled things off a little bit.
Chris Young yesterday was on the G-Bag Nation. We are your home of the Rangers, so we get the manager with KNC every single week, and we get the general manager as well. Here he was before Young's big return discussing the call-up.
Well, the last few games for Josh were positive. We've seen a little bit of improvement in his approach and hit some balls hard. Ultimately, I think we're at a point in the season where we want to continue playing really good baseball, and we need the good version of Josh to be able to do that and to be the best team we can be. Josh certainly makes us better. And, given that it's a critical point in the season, we want Josh on the field. We want to win or lose with Josh. And we believe that Josh is going to be better for the time he had to kind of reset mentally and work on some things with his approach. And, we are expecting it to show up in the game starting tonight.
And it did. Bochy also said we're facing a lot of lefties. I think Bassick was talking last night that like 23 out of the 100 games they had faced a left-handed pitcher. It was something like that, 23 or 26. And Boch said we're facing a lot of lefties. We're not having a lot of success off them. We wanted to try to change things up and bring him up to help. One for one with the front office call. They recalled Michael Hellman and Cole Wynn. Chris Martin was placed on the 15-day injured list. Foscue, Osuna, option to Round Rock. So there it is with Josh Jung coming up. Get a couple of major league firsts as well. And Jack Leiter out on the mound with Clay Thompson.
Yes.
In the building.
Rocking the old school.
Is that a John Olerud?
The John Olerud, the Tony Gwynn. I think Tony Gwynn had one of those for a while. The Ozzie Smith helmet.
I think Boach used to wear one like that. And yes, so he did. That may have been a Boach call out too.
Jared got this one on one with Clay. It was really cool. He represented with the first pitch. He got things going a little bit in the batting cage. And I think Jared may have been instructed not to ask about the Stallion. So that's why we didn't get any TMZ social media updates over Clay's dating life. I did not see Megan in attendance.
Not a terrible swing, though. We've seen far worse.
His brother plays? His brother played or plays? You guys don't know?
I don't know. Yeah, we get a thumbs up from Reitma, so let's play for the Tigers.
That's the only logical conclusion.
The only logical conclusion there.
I will say, you mentioned there that
Trace Thompson.
Boach, you mentioning how they've struggled against lefties, and that's part of why Josh Jung came back up. We had talked about this a little bit while you were out a couple weeks ago, that there was this research that's been done that this year, lefties against righties, lefty pitchers against righty batters, had become just a wild, anomalous swing of where typically the OPS is between 740, 750 around the league on those matchups. League-wide, that had plummeted to like under 700. And there's no explanation for it. And Texas has been a big part of that. The Texas, their entire lineup is just really struggling with those splits against lefties.
And Trey's brother played 7 years. White Sox, Dodgers, Oakland, Cubs.
Okay.
All over the place.
Oh, so he didn't play for the Tigers. He played against the Tigers. That's why Reitman.
Oh, man. Okay, so I'm looking at these lefty-righty splits here as a team. Holy cow. They are hitting 216 against lefties for the year. 616.
Is that good in today's baseball?
OPS. Yeah, it might not be. They're hitting 235 against righties. So their OPS is down. You know, 20 points.
235?
235 as a team against right-handed pitching.
Which Josh Jung, as bad as he's been at times recently and as many issues as he's had, he was one of the only ones who his platoon splits against lefties were not nearly as erratic over the last 2 years as it had been the previous 2 years. So a lot of people the last 2 years have seen those splits dive down really bad. Josh Jung was one of the only ones on the team that hadn't seen that dip.
CY also was asked about the market, right? And he said, I'm not sure there's anything externally that can upgrade or improve our team more than getting the best versions of the current players we have.
I mean, I don't know that he's necessarily wrong there. I mean, we don't know who's available. Now, there's going to be a handful of guys that are available. And Arizona seems to be the team everyone's pointing to, as you could probably get a lot out of them. Problem is that everybody else in the league is going to be doing the same thing. So everyone wants Suarez. That's going to be a tough guy to go get. There'll be bullpen help available. That's probably where you're looking at it. You're not, I doubt, getting a major bat, an impact bat. You know, and then what do you do with guys that you have on your team that might not be here 2 years from now? Like Adolis, you know, what do you do with him? Do you keep him around? Do you try to make him as part of a package or buy and sell at the same time?
Diamondbacks have been thrown out there. Buster only threw out Minnesota as well.
Yeah, Duran with Minnesota. I think is one guy that I saw his name thrown out there yesterday.
Adolis, Marcus Semien, and Wyatt Langford over the last 7 days. What do you think their batting average is combined?
Wait, like we're gonna combine
we're combining all of their plate appearances.
185.
Chop, what do you got?
212.
Peyton, you got a guess?
I'll go 238.
0.47.
Oh,
they are 2 for 42. They are 2 for 42 with 20 strikeouts in the last 7 days.
0.047.
What?
Wow.
Well, look, Wyatt and Marcus showed the gloves last night.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
So shut up.
Well, look, fan text is already saying this morning. We got somebody else saying Wyatt Langford's the next one that needs to be sent down. He sucks. So people are starting to lose patience.
The
there.
One I got on my timeline from Tarek and everyone else is Zeke Duran. Like, why is Zeke Duran even breathing on the major league level? Seager extended his on base streak to 22 games, and DeGrom makes his first start since the All Star break in July 12th. Tonight, 9-2 with a 2-3-2 on this radio station. So Chris Young talking about maybe not a major improvement that's obvious out there for them to go get. CY was asked by G-Bag, do you have the financial green light to spend the money?
Well, some of that just depends on what the needs are. And, ownership has always been very good about giving us the resources. I think that in the last 3 years, we've had the three highest payrolls in team history. And, one of those years resulted in a World Series. Last year, obviously, was a little disappointing. We didn't make the playoffs, and I think we're still trying to figure out what this team is this year. So ownership has been tremendous in terms of giving us the financial resources we need. And the reality is, I've said this again, I'm not sure there's anything externally that can upgrade or improve our team more than getting the best versions of the current players we have. And I think we've done that on the pitching side, and I think we're starting to see it more on the offensive side. And if we get the best of these guys in terms of what their accustomed performances are, that to me is as good as anything we could access on the trade front. So I'm not sure it's a matter of what the financial limitations are. It's more a matter of, that doesn't matter if we don't get the best out of the group we have. And that's equally as important as to what we could go out and get.
So there's CY. I actually really enjoy listening to him on the G-Bag Nation. Don't enjoy some of the other things I hear in terms of maybe the pressure he applies, making people uncomfortable, but we'll see where things go from here.
Which we're also going to have to take a look at. We've mentioned that the Chris Martin injury, like, no telling what that was. Now the outlook it looks like for that is going to be 4 to 6 weeks. So there's even more pressure to go ahead, replace, do something, acquire a reliever.
Right. The word, phrase, or sentence, RJ Choppy, to describe yesterday's Dallas Cowboys press conference heard on this station.
The word, unnecessary.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Michael Parsons.
Michael, yeah. Michael Parsons.
Unnecessary shots taken, unnecessary length of presser, unnecessary to have certain individuals there.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. All of the above. All of the above.
Bobby, yours?
Standard.
Standard, yeah. It is.
Like, I mean, everything, even the stuff that was...
How scary is it that unnecessary and standard could go together?
Could go together.
And both work.
We're not surprised by anything anymore, right?
So that's the thing. It's just, if you're looking for an all-encompassing... It was the Cowboys, like yesterday. We talked about the Cowboys have been kind of quiet the last couple months. Yesterday was the Cowboys, and it's not necessarily bad, a lot of it. But I mean, yeah, all right, Jerry's back out here in this mode of kind of leaning on players and, like, very strategically talking about them in a certain way while they're in the middle of negotiations, something he does pretty routinely. Steven still looks kind of fed up talking about contracts. Although that demeanor from him yesterday, he seems more irritated than normal, I feel like, talking about these contracts. And then Shoddy was... All right, we're talking ball. We're here for football, and this is what we're doing. And so, I don't know, it felt like you're exactly what you'd expect out of a Cowboys press conference.
Which, you're starting to remind me, Bobby, a little bit of the psychologically abused housewife. And I started picking up a little bit on it yesterday when you're normalizing a lot of this stuff and forgetting the 30-year drought, and you're just starting to remind me of that. Like, oh, yeah, it's business as usual. And, da, 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 da. And it might be business as usual, but you're not throwing in there the detriment that it may continue to be.
It's desensitized. It's not anything else, because I'm not the one who's abused by it. So it's more like
you're a Cowboy fan, aren't you?
It's more the...
You come in here very emotional, maybe more emotional than most, on Cowboy Mondays after a tough outing. So you're not totally desensitized.
Like tough outing, like you mean when McCarthy would win, and that would increase the chances that he was sticking around.
Let's dive into the press conference. And is there anyone actually happy with what Jerry Jones did. The craziness in Oxnard, inside the Star, on the official home of America's Team with Sean, RJ, and Bobby after this. I will start off with a tweet from diehard Tolo Curtis, one of our top listeners throughout all the years here on Sean and RJ, your home for America's Team. So much for Shoddy's culture building. Jarrah blew that up in one day. Poof! Question mark. The press conference that the entire world is talking about yesterday in Oxnard, California, the KNC Masterpiece, will kick off our station coverage today. I guess it was kicked off yesterday during their show with the presser that carried on over to G-Bag. And the Jones boys were fired up. Jerry with some defiance. Steven, maybe a little bit more edgy, as Bobby was alluding to at the end of last segment. We got Landman. We got Netflix. We got GM Jerry ever thinking about stepping down. We got shots fired at four different Dallas Cowboys. And three of the four signed. Dak, Lamb, and Terrence Steele. Let's start off with Micah Parsons. And Jerry decided to bring up car accidents for some reason when discussing 11.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt six games last year. Seriously. I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out two-thirds of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
What is the point of the games missed being brought up? First off, it was four games for Micah, not six games. Micah, not Michael. And then he brings up Dak missing games. What is the point?
I think what he's saying is specifically, because he said when you're guaranteeing money, I think he's just specifically talking about in this era, given how CBA works and contract structures work, you have to think about the long-term injury risk of guys who are essentially playing a physical sport all the time. How much do you want to, how good do they have to be to say, I'm willing to invest in this knowing the injury rate is 100% in this sport. I'm willing to invest in this versus I'll get somebody cheaper who will be available to me more frequently rather than watch big money sit on the bench for half the season randomly one year.
Yeah, I took it as like people are saying, well, why don't you pay them so they could play? And it was him saying, well, look, even if I pay them, like sometimes they don't play because they get hurt. Like, you know, I didn't, you know, like that was the quote that J.J. Watt tweeted about, right? That was the same quote saying the ticket. I didn't see that as a dig at Dak and Micah. I saw it as just like a factual, even though it was infactual, right? Because he didn't miss six games. But it was just like, look, we can get him on the field. We can pay him. But just because we pay him doesn't mean they're going to play.
J.J.
hurt.
J.J. tweeted, hey, whenever you get the opportunity to take a shot at some of your franchise players, you got to go ahead and take it. That blew up, and then Micah Parsons retweeted that.
Yeah, and this is it's reminiscent, again, when I said at the end of the last segment, like standard, it's reminiscent of last year Jerry going, I don't feel any urgency for CeeDee Lamb, and then CeeDee Lamb, who hadn't been on Twitter in months, quote tweeting going, LOL, while he's holding out, or Zeke.
It's, yeah. I said this yesterday. I said, and I tried not to fall into the trap yesterday of saying, oh my God, this is going to be offensive and this is going to backfire and this is one day going to cause a Dallas Cowboys player to demand a trade. I said all this yesterday, like we're going to go through some insults and some digs and some shots, pay no attention to it. And here I am falling back into the trap of wondering how Terrence Steele is going to feel walking out to the practice field today. When he got thrown under the bus.
That's a dig.
When Jerry was asked, yo, you got Diggs and Steele done early. What's different about Lamb and Parsons? Why are you waiting?
Frankly, should we have waited on Diggs and Steele? Oh, you brought them up. I didn't.
Well, the other thing is the willingness. I mean, you have players who are, you know, who decide, hey, I'm willing to wait. And I'm going to wait on bigger numbers and. And you got other players who want to be more conservative and say, hey, I'd like to have my money now. And that's every person's different. Every player's different. And you respect both sides. And like I said, we'll talk to four or five other guys other than Micah who are going to be up next year. Some will say, hey, I want to wait and play and think my numbers will go up. I'll play better. I'll do better. The numbers will be up from last year. And we certainly respect that. And then you have some players who say, hey, I'm ready to take care of my family and decide to go now. And they've been varying for 30 years. Who wants to go ahead and do it early and who wants to wait?
And I'm just thinking of Tyron Smith saying, just go ahead, give it to me right now. I'll take under market. But all we needed was the Jerry piece there, in which he totally insulted Trayvon Diggs and Terrence Steele, saying we should not have given them their contracts. How are you feeling if you are Terrence Steele? I don't necessarily feel bad for Diggs because Trayvon is annoying, in my opinion, and he's on his way out of here at some point in time. But Steele, I felt a little bad for Terrence because he's got to go out there today with everyone looking at him and knowing, and he's going to get asked, how do you feel about Jerry Jones basically saying your contract was a mistake?
Yeah. Yeah, that's taking a dig at your players. Like, that one was infinitely more worse to me than the Micah Dak, you know, just because I pay doesn't mean they're here.
That was going to be worse than it was if Steven didn't step in.
Yeah.
Because so that was Joe Hoyt at Dallas Morning News asking him, says, ask the question of like, hey, in relation to this. Yeah. And so then Jerry goes, you know, did we pay them too early? And to Joe's credit, he went, did you? But you, and he goes, well, I didn't bring him up. You brought him up. And he's like, it was in the context of people waiting. And in the middle of him saying that, Steve goes, yeah, look, sometimes people, because Steve was like, no, this is about to go off the rails if he keeps talking.
Yeah.
And so that was the thing that I think was honestly a question Jerry wasn't necessarily expected to get thrown, so that he's just kind of freelancing and he starts in on that. And it's like, okay, a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Unfiltered here.
By the way,
it's frankly.
By the way, what he's saying is not totally wrong, right? We would all like to go back and wait on the Diggs deal, even though we were giving them credit at the time. It ended up with the two deals. We all have turned on Trayvon to a large degree. So you may agree with what he said. You just can't say that publicly. You can't do that. That helps in no way.
Think about who they have paid early. Steele wasn't even totally paid early, but Steele, Diggs, Jalen Smith, Ezekiel Elliott, like, they have picked almost every single one of the wrong ones to do early.
It should be very telling. Sorry, it should be very telling when a player is willing to take the money early, too.
Yeah.
Now, outside of Tyron, Tyron's obviously different. But, like, if you are so willing and so eager to take the money, how much of that is, like, you know, either your position, like in Zeke, is dead or dying, or you had a career year and you've got to capitalize
on it. Or you may think you're going to get hurt. Like, you still want to protect against injury.
Like Jalen, yep.
But the rules are different. This is what drives me crazy about talking about Lamb and Micah versus even Dak, which Dak is not as much of an absolute given as a performer than CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. Even Bobby would attest to that. But paying Jalen Smith and Terrence Steele and Trayvon Diggs, that is much more of a gamble than paying CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. Leadership was a humongous theme throughout yesterday's press conference. Mm-hmm. They kept bringing up leadership for Micah. And my follow-up is, what has he not? I'm going to ask Schottenheimer in Oxnard, what more does he need to show you? What are you not seeing from him from a leadership standpoint that's holding up the payment? He showed up what?
It's time. You said it a couple years ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was, a year and a half ago, whatever it was, that there were people who had grown tired of Micah's bit, essentially. Or not his bit, but just basically grown tired of the Micah energy and the personality. So to them, they're going to say, it's nice. Like I would imagine what they would say off the record probably, and what they're inferring with all this, you know, leadership's important, is they would probably say, I want to see it for longer. I want to see him do this longer because he did the other stuff for a lot longer than he's done the leadership.
And are we talking, like Mike Florio suggested, longer as in one more year?
I think that's tough talk. I know they kept inferring, like, well, the option is he takes it or he just, you know, waits till next year.
He's under contract. Everyone is under contract.
He gets to the open market, man. That thing's going to hit $50 million.
That's what they were inferring, was that they could wait that long. I don't I don't think that's legit. They've like I said, they've done similar things with Zeke and CD with their language before, and they end up doing it.
J.J. Watt also said, nothing makes guys want to fight for you more than hearing how upset you are that they got hurt while fighting for you. And again, Micah retweeted that. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053, Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line.
Which I think there were, kind of like Chop said, what you were saying, there were plenty of other things in that press conference yesterday that I looked at and said, like, ooh, that was a tactical jab. That was not one of them. That I felt was legitimately just a billionaire businessman who's talking about how investments work.
Diggs and Steele?
No, the one with the Micah injury when you just read the Watt quote again. That to me felt like he was literally just talking about the risk of guaranteeing
money. I just think he did a bad job. His analogy was bad.
It was bad, yes.
I understand what RJ is saying. Now it's much more clear to me with the way RJ explained it. It's going to come across as our star players, well, they're not available.
Yeah.
It
comes across way worse than I think it was intended to.
Yeah.
There was plenty.
Like getting hit by a car, it's dark. You know,
yeah,
like,
it's very dark. There were plenty of things in that press conference to me to be upset about. That's going to get the headlines because of who's in it.
And it's making it seem like Micah, like, not soft, but he gets hurt. Well, it makes it seem like, because you had a lot of Cowboy fans. Yeah. There are some Cowboy fans defending this saying, good, Micah disappears at the end of seasons. Micah doesn't perform in the playoffs. Good, call him out. Tired of this cupcake patty cake around here. That is what that quote is going to do, though.
Which that will go viral regardless of the team you are. No, I'm saying that kind of thing goes viral regardless. That's not just a Cowboys energy thing, because who's the smallest market team in the National Football League?
It's got to be Green Bay.
It's the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers a month ago went viral for Mark Murphy after they cut Jair Alexander, saying, well, we're used to playing without him. But then when you like listen, it's aggressive and it sounds a certain way on the surface. And then when you hear him back, he was saying he was hurt a lot. He's super talented, but he was hurt a lot, so we had to adjust. And so we've figured out ways to kind of cover it. But it ends up sounding like, oh my gosh, who needs him? And it's going to naturally read probably like, who needs him?
And then he was asked about Diggs. I mean, there's clear beef between Jerry and Diggs.
Yes.
It is crystal clear, obvious. And he said, when you're talking about that price range, leadership is really big. Then Schottenheimer mentioned leadership when talking about Micah, and he got tied into Diggs. Here's some of the audio.
Well, everybody here is under contract. Everybody. Yes, yes. And so that's what that is. From the standpoint of, let's say, what happens relative to, I'm looking at the entire NFL when I say this, and that's players that are under contract and teams looking to make it better for the team and for the player. In terms of that, that is incumbent if you're in that price range. When you're up there in that top 10%, so to speak, of the league, in that top quartile of your team, leadership is really big. Mm. And leadership exhibits itself when you're negotiating as well. And so I'm appreciative of Micah being here. I am. And it's incumbent upon us all. We've got a player that we've docked him for not being here during off-season workout, as you well know. And we will fine him for that, because those parts of a contract to go directly toward the leadership that he's is as a player relative to the rest of the team, and certainly, obviously, to our fans as well. So I'm big into, and not alone either, big into showing anything you can do for leadership if you're going to be one of these guys that are in the top drawer of all the money.
That was a clear word yesterday. Bobby Belt is chuckling. Tolos are texting 877-881-1053. Let's continue with your reaction to that. And is Micah, he's there. Is he actually going to practice today as they step on the fields in Oxnard? We continue inside the Star on the home of the Cowboys next. I had the Dallas Cowboys stopwatch out yesterday for the press conference airing right here on 105.3 The Fan. They'll step on the practice field today. Will Micah Parsons be out there with them? Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt on DFW Sports Station. 20 minutes, except for one question for John Machota. The first 20 minutes were on the Micah deal. I was actually surprised I didn't get more irritated, even though I guess Steven did to a degree. First 20 minutes on the Micah deal. They expected it. They took all the questions. How many minutes before Brian Schottenheimer spoke?
I didn't think I know the answer.
I saw your...
Oh, you saw it.
I didn't see it, but I was 9 minutes.
8 minutes, 10 seconds.
8 minutes, 10 seconds. Set the over-under at 4.5. That got blown away. 8 minutes, 10 seconds for Shotty.
Yes. This is disgraceful.
And you brought out a stopwatch yesterday, too.
Hold on. But why? I'm curious, because literally, I mean, we've had Shotty weigh in on all this, like all these things about 12 times since we last heard from the front office
Look, this is a way to get American Airlines an hour of publicity with that little thing behind them. That's all this is. I went and looked at the other teams that have done a press conference so far this training camp. Not a single one had a general manager or owner up there with them. Not a single one. And
because they want their own time, generally.
Okay, fine. But guess what? Those websites, so Chargers, the Chargers have done it. The Lions have done it. One of the Chiefs. Not a single one of those websites. If the GM did an interview, it's not even on the website. It's not even on the website. It doesn't have to be an hour long. The rest of them were then, let's see, what was, Andy Reid's was 10 minutes, his opening presser. Dan Campbell's was 14. Jim Harbaugh's was 26. He went a little bit long. All those teams are, like, infinitely better than we are right now. Well, I mean, Harbaugh's better, but they're not there yet. The point is that you're a distraction. The whole thing, you already neuter the head coach the moment you're up there.
His first training camp,
which, by the way, Jerry spends an inordinate amount of time just defending the hire every time. Every coach, every year, he spends an inordinate saying how great the person is. It should be Schottenheimer's day. Period. Like, I don't, you know, like, it should be 15 minutes, get out of there. Does that, you completely neuter these people every time you're up there. All the questions go directly to you. It's a dog and pony show, man, and it's annoying, and it's year after year. It's getting worse. I remember back in San Antonio, they were like 15, 20 minutes long. That's with Parcells, who couldn't shut up, and he never saw a microphone he didn't want to hear or didn't want to look at. It's awful.
When did your irritation start rising during the hour or moment? I know the moment.
The moment they sat down. Because
no.
Yes, because the head coach, first of all, if you're going to have all three of those up there, the head coach needs to be in the middle. He was in the end. And I told you all you needed to know.
I can't remember if I think McCarthy sat between them in the past. I don't know.
Jason always sat in the middle.
That may have just I don't know if that was just because that is odd, because they've generally, I think, sat the coach next to Jerry, and then Steven's been on the outside.
You didn't get annoyed by all the Landman and Netflix stuff?
No, I mean, that was the only stuff I actually cared to hear him talk about. It's a good show.
It is a good show.
Bobby, your response? And you can even respond to what were you about to say at the end of the Micah stuff last segment.
I think when we're talking about availability, all other general managers generally talk. All other front offices talk. I do, especially with these things hanging up there. I want to hear from them on it. Like I don't want there to be silence on it. Schottenheimer's spoken about 10 times over the last several weeks. Schottenheimer will speak 10 more times by himself while we're in California. And we'll spend 20 minutes out there. And so you'll get plenty of time to ask them whatever. I would more, honestly, I would prefer that press conference is not the head coach in it at all. Because to me, I'm going to hear from the head coach a dozen more times.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
I do want to hear from the front office. And if it's going
to
be a sit-down.
It'd be better to not have Brian up there than to have him up there and speak third or the least.
Yeah,
because the look. I totally understand what you're saying.
When you're talking for
an
hour.
And then Brian's going to go out there and boss everyone around on the field.
Right. When you're up there for an hour and 45 minutes is dedicated to not the head coach, I don't know, man. That just to me, it screams like he's the authoritative figure.
Yeah.
You know, and this, if Bill Belichick was the head coach here,
I mean, when they're talking about leadership, the amount of hypocrisy and double standards in yesterday's press conference is very Cowboy. You're talking about Micah and Diggs and leadership, and then who's the leader up there of your football team? It appears to be, you know, Jerry Jones, and this is nothing new. I'm only stressing it again because it's Schottenheimer's first press conference. Then Steven gets irritated. Hey, let's play this. This is Slater asking about Micah's agent. What's his name?
David Mulugeta.
Who had more mispronunciations between Jerry or Slater yesterday? On Michael or Mugaletta? I thought I was eating an Italian sandwich.
Buffaletta. Yeah, you thought you were eating a buffaletta.
Corey Major's favorite sandwich. This is Steven cutting off Slater.
Jerry didn't speak to Todd France. And Jerry, as he said, doesn't speak to many agents. I do.
So what is your relationship with Mugaletta been so far?
We've always had a good relationship with Mulugeta.
What would you say?
And specifically, Adam speaks to the agents as well. So, but Jerry's typically, whether it's a coach or a player, speaks directly to the principal.
And I don't talk to the attorneys and all of the other stuff that goes on too. Now, it really wouldn't be time for everything if you did that. So I do talk to the principals.
So,
which Adam, by the way, is Adam Pacifica, their salary cap guy.
Then Steven later admitted he hasn't spoken to Muffaletto.
Muffaletto.
he hasn't ordered a sandwich in the French Quarter.
Come on.
So Jerry nor Steven, I would really like to ask Joel Corey or here, Bobby, you know plenty of agents. Well, how common is this that Jerry, for this point in time in the negotiation, neither Jerry or Steven have talked to Mulugeta? It's only been Adam. And then when Steven's like, I'm not going to get into, and I totally agree with him on this. Jane was trying to get, what's the holdup? What are the details? Steven's like, there's no point in talking about that. Then Jerry afterwards in the walk-off with reporters says, we basically had everything worked out. Archer tweeted this, quote, let's put it like this. We went over every possible detail that you could go over and had agreement. So, Bobby, what you've been talking about for weeks now, Jerry just said it on the record. They had it worked out with Micah, and then something went backwards. But just the standard of your protocol. Steven, don't put it out there. It's disrespectful to the player when they get in their pockets. Jerry then gives us all the details afterwards off the microphone. Leadership, Micah. Leadership, Diggs. Well, are we allowing Brian Schottenheimer to start off his tenure being the leader?
Yeah. And in terms of how normal that is around the rest of the league, those sort of the structure of those negotiations, I don't know specifically if it goes on as long or but it's not unusual. I know here in Dallas for the majority of your interactions are with Adam Pacifica, the salary cap guy, and their Todd Williams, director of football administration. Those are the two that you're mostly dealing with. Steven will get involved. And then usually Jerry is the one who's like, if it's a really tough negotiation, they're kind of pushing over the line. But it would be similar to, I'm trying to think of something analogous here. So like we have Brian Purdy, who was our boss here for a long time, or Bob McKay.
Rest in peace, Brian.
You wouldn't necessarily, if it's just an easy deal or you're just getting something resigned, it can just be, all right, here it is in front of you. And you don't even have a discussion with him about it. It can just be something that happens. And then there are other things where it's like, maybe if there's something that you want, then it's like, all right, this escalates and we take it. So early on, almost all the contracts are dealt with on that lower level with Adam Pacifica and Todd Williams. And then, yes, Steven and others get involved when more details need to be pushed over the line.
Jerry, is Micah actually going to practice today? Is he going to step out on the field with everyone else?
Well, everybody here is under contract. Everybody. Yes. And so that's what that is. From the standpoint of, let's say, what happens relative to, I'm looking at the entire NFL when I say this, and that's players that are under contract and teams looking to make it better for the team and for the player. In terms of that, that is incumbent if you're in that price range. All right. You're up there.
Cut that off. I think we already went and played that one. Anyway, Bobby, you answer it. Is Micah Parsons going to practice today?
It's very complicated. So
there's no way.
I don't think he's let them know what he's doing. Like I think that they are. That's one of the reasons why they're being so cagey about it. I don't think he's said. I think he will
be on the field.
I think he'll be seen. I don't know to what capacity, but I think he will be out there. And he's shown when he's out there, he go get me a helmet. And so he might do it again.
Jerry also took issue with, you know, the contracts in the league. Doing something before the end of a contract does not benefit the club. They're usually dealing with future numbers, not current. And sometimes those future numbers are fluff. This is once again, and this is what we fail to give the Joneses in the front office the benefit of the doubt on this. When CD may ask for $7 more million. I'm starting to think that David Muffoletto, he could be asking for 46.
Man, it might be. He might be.
What they were trying to tell us yesterday is the player in this negotiation, instead of saying TJ 41, I'm using this as an example. Jerry and Steven are trying to say, yeah, the player many times will come to us and go, we want what next year's number is going to be. It's eventually going to be 45. Just give us 45 right now versus 41 right now with where TJ is at. So, but then they kept talking about guarantees, Bobby. So maybe that's the holdup.
Yeah, Jerry kept circling back to when you're guaranteeing money. And so that sounds like something that he was inferring was a hang up for them. But yeah.
And that's what I was asking when the TJ deal got done. Maybe that's what we're missing here. When almost all of TJ's deal got done and the Cowboys are like, well, Micah, you missed some games, so we don't want to guarantee all of it. And we know that the owners after the Deshaun deal, through collusion, don't want to guarantee the whole deal.
Right.
Maybe this is a precedent thing, too. We don't want to add to the Browns precedent get almost close to doing this or be a million or two off.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Mulugeta has said it's 46. Because, I mean, Todd France came in for Dak on his first contract extension and told the Cowboys it was 46. And they settled at 40. And so, like, typically, like, that's kind of the back and forth and kind of the tangle. So it wouldn't surprise me if he came in and said 46 because he knows they're going to stop at 42, 43.
Did another team in the Western Conference get that much better than the Dallas Mavericks? And Draymond Green picking on Cooper Flagg already? We have that. We have another brand new ticket giveaway back to the Cowboys in the commercial-free expressway. It's all on the way here on Sean and RJ.